Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing well, doing well. Do we have any problems out there we can talk about today?
Well, we got more than yesterday, I'm afraid.
More than yesterday, yeah. I was looking around for at least our positive thing. But I, you know, the people sort of like it when you pick out the villain of the week. I think they enjoy that more than us pretending that we've solved all the problems. But there are too many villains, that's true. You don't want to discriminate against anybody. But we're not going to discriminate against anybody. We're going to try to present to the best of our ability what we see is happening and why it's happening. And today we want to talk about, you know, the coronavirus lockdown, the renewal of the lockdown. I thought we proved the lockdown was the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And that the epidemic was essentially over. The death rate is down so low. And I think they got to worry on because they say, if we allow this to happen and everybody opens up and the statistics don't get bad again, they're going to have to concede that maybe our program and many others who've been telling them that, it's not quite as you present it. And they didn't want to have to concede that. So the headlines change. We mentioned it a couple of days ago. The headlines all of a sudden different because guess what? And you know about it because you help figure this out. That is, they started counting things differently. Before it was always the deaths and percentages, and they'd take the death rate at the nursing homes, and it was a disaster. But now they talk about cases.
Yeah.
And of course, we mentioned, well, there may be a distortion in the number of cases because a lot of people get it. They don't even have it. And they're out there just living their life. But we have to find out. We have to know everybody who has ever been exposed and who's ever positive because we don't want any secrets from the statisticians just because they escape even getting the virus. So what did they have to do? There were drug companies and medical companies that said, well, you know, we can make a test kit that's going to be super good. It'll cost you some money. Oh, government said, we'll pay for it. But we need testing.
Yeah.
We need it immediately, and the world's coming to an end. And the people roll over, and they line up in their cars, miles and miles long, waiting to get that test. What are they going to do when they get the test? You know, common sense would say that if you have a cold or a coronavirus or whatever, and you have a relative in a nursing home, you might be a little bit more cautious. Or if they're in your house, there's so many things that you can do. You might even make sure you, if they're incapacitated, make sure they get outside, not locked up in a room and nobody's allowed to visit them. So everything was wrong. But right now, we were moving in the right direction. You know, that there was a lot of softening up on the programs and more openness in many, many states. And all of a sudden, a new announcement came in because it really wasn't that good because there's so many more cases. Therefore, the states have to cancel their plans, and 40% of all their plans got canceled. And so it looks like the effort to intimidate and terrorize the people. Actually, from my viewpoint, the little bit I get to talk to people out there, I think people are easily intimidated. And they all of a sudden, oh, okay, if they say it's that dangerous, we got to lock down ourselves. We better not go out forever, and we have to wear our masks to the dentist, and we have to wear our mask to the beach and in the swimming pool. We have to wear our mask forever and ever, and that's going to save the day. And, of course, there's a lot of good science to show that wearing a mask doesn't do a bit of good, it does harm. It impedes the flow of oxygen and impedes the exhaling of CO2, and that people actually are worse off by the mask, and nobody has proven that it was the absence of mask that prevents the spread of this disease. So, but nevertheless, you know, it is a symbol. But to many people, honest people and decent people, it's a symbol toward their patriotic duty, doing what they're asked, based on good science. The government is helping us. To me, it just happens to be it's a symbol of tyranny that you have your mask on, and this shows that you are obedient to the state, and the state uses this as a label, too, because I don't think all the time these people who are preaching masks, I'm not so sure they really wear a mask. So that's the thing that we want to question, because this reversal, it was good that we were going in the right direction, but it's been reversed, and just makes no sense at all that we couldn't just let free people make a decision about contagious diseases like they've done most of my lifetime. And yeah. We went through a lot of diseases. We even went through polio and everything else without massive quarantines. So this is something different. I think it's hysterically driven. It's all overdone, and I think the reaction, the lockdowns, much more dangerous than the disease itself. But people say that's a nutty idea. People died from corona, and people have. But you got to know all the factors of who died and when and what the circumstances were. But what they don't want to hear about are the people who died from the lockdown, denied medical care and the various things, and people losing jobs and going not staying at home, yeah. This sort of thing. So there's a price they'll never add that up. They're only going to talk about how many cases were discovered today, and what is it going to be, 100,000 by the end of the week? It's just gone totally out of control.
Well, they will blame they'll blame this resurgence on, we reopened too soon. We talked about that yesterday. We were doing so good. What you mean when you say that is that the leaders were maybe coming to their senses and opening up a little bit. But the return to this, and this is hence the title of this, this is something we saw in Zero Hedge. It was a report by Goldman, found that 40% of Americans, 40% of our population, is now living in states where they are have either halted or they are returning to a lockdown or shutdown, and that's a big thing. If you remember the joke during the first lockdown, it wasn't a joke, but you could go to bars, but you couldn't go to church. Remember that? The bars were open, but the churches were closed. Well, they fixed that this time. Now they decide to close all the bars. And so you can see from the report, places like Arizona have made a new order, closing all the bars, closing the gyms, closing the movie theaters and water parks. Florida, on-site alcohol sales prohibited at bars. You can go to the bar, you just can't drink, right? because Corona gets you when you have a beer in your hand, especially a Corona beer. But Texas returns to 50% restaurant from 75%. So that's going to do it, right? No alcohol at bars in Texas. The other thing is postponing non-critical medical procedures, and you have some thoughts about that. California, no alcohol at bars in 15 counties, et cetera, et cetera. So they're coming for the bars, too, now.
Boy, this is tough on the alcohol business, because they didn't say a word about marijuana. some of those companies haven't done as well as people thought they were going to do. Yeah. And they're looking for a bailout. We went through this whole history since the 1930s of putting people in prison for smoking a joint. Then all of a sudden now we're subsidizing these companies that went bankrupt trying to sell marijuana. So yes, they don't want any alcohol to be sold. You can go to the bar, but you can't sell it. But no, once again, they're attacking the hospital. And I thought we thoroughly refuted this, plus the people at the hospitals, the major hospitals in Houston agree with us on this, that during the time when the so-called epidemic was roaring, but it was just a reaction to the virus that was roaring. But the people were intimidated. They wouldn't go. The hospitals were empty. There were beds available. And the personnel were being laid off, and nobody could. The doctors lost money because nobody could get to their offices, and all these things. So now they're going back to this. If it's unnecessary, elective surgery, we don't want that. We want to make sure there's enough beds available. And what we quoted a statistic the other day that said that the bed situation right now is less onerous than it was 1 year ago. Yeah. There were more seats, more beds available now than there were 1 year ago, comparing apples with apples. But that doesn't register with anybody, because it is claimed by some that you and I, we just don't understand the seriousness of this. Well, we do. We recognize the seriousness of the infection, which is very important, should be treated. That's why we don't want the government telling you what drugs you can use for it. And they don't want to even invite the implication that maybe the shotgun was dangerous. No, that's totally ignored. But then they say that people that don't preach and authorize the government to arrest you and fine you if you don't put your mask on and be counted in the category of obedient to the state. And that's where the real problem is.
Well, here in Lake Jackson, if you don't put your mask on, you can't even get food. So, you know, what are you going to do? You can't eat if you don't put your mask on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. But the two big lies that have enabled this return to shutdown, to lockdown, are very important. First of all, and you touched on in your opening, cases, not deaths. And we talked about it yesterday. All of a sudden, it's only about cases. And I even saw, I looked through the comments, and I know you do too, a lot of people who I don't recognize, who seem like they're new followers, maybe, or maybe not, they came on board, but people seem very confused. When we put up that chart yesterday, it was from the CDC itself, showing that the deaths had gone down to almost zero from a peak in April. Boom, they're gone. And when people said, well, Ron, you're wrong. That's not true because cases are increasing. They're conflating the two. They're conflating death with cases. They don't even, there's a misunderstanding, and I think the media does that on purpose. No, we've always been at war with East Asia, you know, like in 1984. And the second big lie, and you touched on it too, is the Houston hospital situation. Yeah. And I remember a big headline with Drudge, who's, I don't know, gone off the rails. Maybe it's been taken over by zombies, but apocalyptic was the word they used to describe the Houston hospitals. And that's simply not the fact. They were not overdone. And our good friend David Stockman, who's brilliant with statistics, did a great piece, we have it on the Ron Paul Institute website today, just eviscerated this idea, just using the stats that are widely available. And I think we actually put up our first graphic because this is taken directly from his article. This is interesting because this is cases over deaths. So basically, they're trying to make the case, we've got to reshut Texas down because it's getting terrible. It's getting like New York. Well, look at the deaths per 100,000. The deaths per 100,000 in New York, 234 in the Bronx, 222 in Queens, 198 in Brooklyn. That's per 100,000 deaths. Then you go after Houston, 7, Dallas, 13, Fort Worth, 10, San Antonio, 5 deaths per 100,000, Austin, 9 deaths per 100,000. You cannot look at those two statistics and say that Texas is up there with New York and we have to shut it down. It's a tiny minuscule. And actually, let's go to the next one really quick, too, because this is also about the beds. Dr. Paul, this is, I don't know if we can raise that, I'm missing that bottom number, but I can read it here. These are unused acute care beds in the Texas hospital system. On 3/18, March 18, there were 8,155 unused acute care beds in the Texas hospital system. This past week, 6/25, there were 12,571. 8,000 in March, now we have 12,000 unused beds in the Texas medical system, and that is the reason that Abbott is using to shut the state down. Something smells pretty fishy in Austin.
Yes, and I've given that some thought. I don't have the statistics to prove it, but I have an instinct to try to figure out, why are they doing this then? I mean, what you say is so logical, and it's more than just your opinion. There are the stats there, and David's so good at this. But from the beginning, I said this whole thing was a distraction from the more serious problems, war and peace, the Federal Reserve, the recession, the boondoggles, the negative interest rates, and how serious the economy is in. And you cannot blame the Federal Reserve or the Congress for spending too much money. That would be sinful and wrong. So they have to find something else. And this is the something else, because all the statistics that you brought up show that the problems aren't quite like like they're claiming. They shouldn't be terrified for it, and they shouldn't have to lock down the nation. But there's another one. I think David Stockman even mentions this. It's the incessant hatred toward Trump. Yeah. And, you know, neither we nor David has ever been, you know, super supporters of Trump.
Yeah.
But in this case, they are driven just like Russiagate, driven by hatred of Trump. He invites some of his problems, but the hatred is just overwhelming. So that does it too. So what can they do? If we can have this terrible, terrible result of the coronavirus, we'll blame Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, and right now he's getting a lot of heat for this, and this motivates a lot of people to support it. But the people out there that are rolling over and give me my mask, they don't look into this. So they have to just go by wanting to be a good citizen, and they know what's best, and they have the technology, and they're doing all the testing. So I think that those are basically some reason, but I think it's also an opportunity for the people whose long-term plans are to have Marxism, authoritarianism, totalitarianism, the term that we've used. They join in and they play this game, because if we can scare the people, they don't even have positions. You take, for instance, and they work closely with Black Lives Matter. We'll tear down anything, even if we tear down people that are, on their side. They can't even pretend that the statue they tear down are racist or anything else. But the principle for them is to cause chaos and to take over. I think another motivation for this, keep it going, is money in the drug industry, mm-hmm. the insurance industry, and this is and vaccines going on. But they prohibit some use of cheap drugs, which probably are the best around, according to some people, and then they force other drugs on that are most expensive. That's probably not an accident. And how often do they talk about the most important thing, and that is nutrition, you know, zinc and vitamin D and sunshine and all these things? No, they never touch on that. But I think also this combination of Black Lives Matter and also with the coronavirus, I think there's a sentiment that comes across, at least it's observed by a lot of others, about anti-Christian sentiment. How did they do this? The Soviets couldn't do it to us,
yeah.
But we emptied our churches.
Yeah.
The churches are empty. And it's almost like, to be a good believer and one a person of faith, that I have to do it, to do it. But I don't think that should be the case. So there's a lot of motivation behind there. And of course, what we're arguing, there are other reasons other than the fact that the case number is going up, which we just dispelled. And it's just not the reason. I mean, you can go out there and we got to watch the kids. The kids are spreading it. They're going to eventually get sick. No, most of them don't. And even though the total, if you eliminate the numbers that come out of the nursing home, most people, and you've quoted the statistics, 99%+ of the people get over this,
yeah.
Regardless of their age. But nevertheless, we have to terrorize them, and nobody's allowed to take their own chances. Why can't the restaurant and the customers, or the doctor and the patients, make that decision? You can protect against yourself, and you can have your own rules. But this whole idea that you can have national rules made, state rules made, governor's rules made, mayor's rules made, they're going to be arbitrary, and there'll be no way that you can argue what we have to put up with is scientific in any way. I think what I mentioned here, the approach of authoritarianism, motivates people, and then the careless thinking of so many people, why they feel good about doing the same, doing exactly as we're told. Well, this is my duty, and I am going to do my part. And some of them even say, I'm going to do it, even if it doesn't matter with the infection, because it'll show that we're supporters. Yeah, that's great. What if it makes the conditions worse? And I'm convinced that in certain circumstances, these masks are dangerous to some patients, or maybe all of us. This one case I mentioned the other day, they were at 9,000 feet in the mountains where the oxygen level is low, and they have their mask on, taking care of themselves and being a great symbol for common sense and good health.
You know, it does remind me, and someone else wrote this too, about people being forced to march in the May Day parades in the Soviet era, you know. They didn't really believe it, but they didn't want to go against the system. They didn't want to lose their job. And it's sickening that we've come to that level. They'll put on a mask for the state. But you mentioned the closing down of churches. Some of the arguments made, including my old church of Virginia, is, well, a legitimate authority issued these rules, so therefore we have to follow the civil government. It's never legitimate to destroy the Constitution and say you can't have your freedom of religion. That should have been automatic. This is not legitimate. It's not a legitimate authority. The other thing I would say is I think it's no coincidence that Texas is targeted right now. And as you say, you know, we're not Trump cheerleaders at all, even though we're accused of it. We are observers. They need to pry Texas away from the Republicans, and we know it's turning purple, and I think this will hurt. It is hurting the economy. Unfortunately, Abbott is not showing much of much courage these days. But I want to put up one the next one, just returning to the beds for a second, because I had a thought on this, and I'll just leave this up for a second. It's a complicated thing. I'm not going to try to explain it, but it simply demonstrates the way that ICU beds work in Texas. There is a core of beds available. It can expand if something happens and they need more beds. It has expanded slightly. There are still several thousand beds available. It is not a crisis. This is as of June 29th, 2020. And you would ask, well, why are these administrators and CEOs pushing back? And they did it, and it was very effective, although the news isn't reporting it. And I would say it's not because they were Trump supporters or they were even necessarily in love with freedom. I think as administrators, they had to push back because they were made to look incompetent. Their main job is to manage these ICUs in a way that people can get treated if they needed to, but you don't want a lot of empty ICU beds because you have to generate money. That's the business, too. So I think part of it is they just didn't want to look incompetent, and I think it's good that they came out. The other thing that Stockman talks about, and it's very interesting, is now the re-postponing of medical procedures in Texas. Well, you said this before the start of the show. That was a source of the problem in the first place. You had this huge surge of demand, all this pent up in demand for important medical procedures. They all went to the hospital as soon as they were allowed to, and as soon as they got there, well, first thing, you got to get your COVID test. Oh, you've got it? Okay, you're a COVID patient. Put it on the statistics, and that's what they've done. There's a lot of also double testing people each day that I've been getting reports about and other things. So there's a lot of funny business going on, and I know we're getting closer, so I'm going to just kind of a couple of things really quick, because I think we need a little bit of levity here, because I'm getting depressed, you're getting depressed, we're going to start crying on camera. But let's show the next one. Here's a little comic relief. Here's good old Fauci. Drinking inside bars is one of the most dangerous things you can do right now. That's what Fauci says. He says it's bad, quote, very, very bad to go in bars. And he's putting on his. But let's look at the next one. Here's a little clip that's kind of funny that someone sent to me earlier. Here's Fauci. He's on camera. I think he's before Congress. He's got his mask on. He's doing all the things he needs to do. And check out what he does when he thinks the cameras are off. Let's just watch this for a second. He's off camera, takes off his mask, adjusts his belt, looks around. It's a show. It's a big show, and Fauci is, I guess he thinks he's the ringmaster. He's coming back in. Folks, don't be taken in by this. It's very disturbing. As I said, here in Lake Jackson, I drove around yesterday because I wanted to find a little store if I needed to get some butter or something. If you're not willing to submit yourself and take the mask, then you can't shop. You can't do any business. And I found a little place. I'm not going to tell anyone where it is. That I can go in if necessary, but I never thought I would see this, Dr. Paul, and it's pretty sickening.
No, it is bad. You know, you mentioned a little bit about the politics of the situation, and I did too, about the hatred toward Trump. And they'd like to get the power. There's a power struggle. I talk so much about why the parties don't matter philosophically, because they're driven by the deep state, and they all support things like the foreign policy, the monetary policy, the spending policies, the debts, and all this. They do it. But the contest is for power, because there's certain social things that they like to wield on, and they're looking for power. But this week, they've also talked about there's pressure on the state Republican Party. I think that's coming up soon. And they're trying to get them to cancel it. And because of this, this type of information in Texas being singled out, especially when compared to New York, look at that they're liable to close. That would probably be the worst thing that they could do. But of course, they're trapped. If they don't do it, they say, see? They don't care, and then they'll bring up some statistics that'll be lying or misleading in doing this. So this is ongoing, but to separate that and get people to think more about honesty and about real medical care and science, that's a different story. Unfortunately, we're a long way from that, and we have to listen to the demagogues, and we have to listen to the people who join them, the Faucis of the world. I just don't understand how people don't see through it. I think Trump does. Trump, I think he sees through that, but he's in a position, I guess, where it's just difficult for him to really cut if he's the only one up there fighting the deep state. You know, maybe who knows what kind of pressure is put on him. But it to me is a real shame of what is going on. And I think it's the rejection of the whole notion of what our country is all about. And we're moving up now shortly on the day that we declared, our independence from authoritarianism. And I'll tell you what, we have drifted a long way. Some of the things I mentioned earlier, some of the long things going on here that we've never had to suffer before, and we've gone through world wars and depressions and all these things, but right now, I don't see so much that the incentive there is to put that on us, that's one thing, but it's the disincentive to resist it, and for the people to just roll over and I'll do what you tell me. Because it's important that we maintain order. And I don't want to be like somebody that wants to have violence in the street. So yes, you back off like they did in, they gave them their own little city in Seattle. And lo and behold, they said, we don't like the police. They take the police off and the violence got worse. More people were killed. And so they do this. And it's going to be very hard for us unless we have a clear definition of what the purpose of government is. The purpose of government is not to make us safe, free, perfect, and absolutely equal in every way, because governments can't do that. The most that government can do is protect liberty and let people and their local community and their family and friends work out and deal with the problem. And if you have to have government, it should be very local. I think the best government is very local, and that is self-government. And that can only be accomplished when you have a moral system that people accept, that it's not a good idea to cheat people and lie to people and hurt people and kill people. That's all they'd have to agree to, and I think things would be a lot of the difference. And that was the way it was in our early history. And what did we have? We had the freest country. We had the biggest, the largest middle class ever known to man, and yet we don't anymore. We don't even rate out in the top 6 or 8 on the freest countries in the world anymore. So we need to reassert ourselves, and I hope that many people will think about that on July 4th. What was that all about? Because it was unique, because that was one time where a violent revolution occurred and the people ended up with more liberty rather than less. Almost all revolutions, and some people argue every revolution that ever occurs, the people end up with less. Right now, we are in the middle of a different type of revolution, and right now it looks like we're going to end up with less rather than more liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.